Have you ever thought something was difficult so you didn't try to do it? A lot of folks think that about drawing up a budget. Hi, I'm Rob West. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to draft a budget. Like anything, there's a bit of a learning curve, but it gets easier the more you try. I'll talk you through the basics today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Okay, so we talk a lot about the need for budgeting on this program, and we've developed the amazing MoneyWise app to help you do it. It has three different ways that you can set up your budget and allot money to your various spending categories. Just look for MoneyWise Biblical Finance in your app store. We also have trained volunteer coaches who can't wait to help you draw up your budget and get you set up in the MoneyWise app, and you can connect with a coach at MoneyWise.org or in the app itself. Now, before we get into the basics of budgeting, it's important to understand that everyone needs to do it, no matter how much or how little they have coming in. There's no other way to stay on top of your spending, get out of debt, give to your maximum potential, and plan for the future. Okay, so let's get started. Step one is list your monthly income. That means your after-tax income. If you're a W-2 employee and your employer withholds taxes, it's the amount of your paycheck. If you have other income where taxes aren't withheld, you should only count about 70% of that and put the rest in savings for tax time. Step two is to list all of your fixed expenses, the things you pay the same amount on every month. That would include your rent or mortgage payment, auto loans and insurance, credit card minimum payments and student loans, and of course, include your giving in this step. Determine a percentage for your giving and do your best to stick to it. Step three, list your variable expenses. These change from month to month. Your electric bill would be an example if you're not on a budget billing plan. Other variable expenses would include groceries, household items, and gas for the car. Obviously, these are just estimates. If you find that difficult, you can go over your receipts and bank statements to ballpark those amounts, and you can adjust them in the months ahead. In fact, plan on adjusting them. Nobody gets estimated variable expenses right the first time. Now, you can add up your variable expense estimates and subtract that from your remaining income. So far, pretty easy. Okay, step four is budget some money for your wants. We've already identified your needs. Now give yourself a little spending money for a few things that make life a little easier and more enjoyable. This could be an occasional dinner out or some other favorite activity. Use these as rewards for staying on budget. And here I'll suggest a percentage. Try to keep your wants to 5% of your take-home pay, 10% at the very most, because you'll need every penny for what comes next. And step five is budgeting to pay off any consumer debt you have, especially credit cards. You need to determine the amount of your remaining discretionary income that you can put toward that debt. That is above your minimum payments. Let's shoot for another 5 to 10% of your income. 10% is, of course, better. And now you're probably wondering, hey, why not throw all of my remaining money at that debt? Well, that would be great, but step six is to budget something for savings. And if you have credit card debt, we'll assume you don't have an emergency fund. So start one. Put some amount from every paycheck into liquid savings so you can get to it easily when an unplanned expense arises. You may have to split your remaining available money between paying down debt and building your emergency fund. Try to get between 5 and 10% of your remaining income into each category. Okay, those are the basics for setting up a budget, but there are two more things you should do to increase your chances of staying on it. First, look for ways to cut spending. Can you raise or lower the thermostat to trim your utility bills? Can you cut something from the grocery budget? You may have run out of money before completing step six, and this is how you make sure you have enough money for all of them. Second, set up a system for tracking your spending as you go forward. This is essential for knowing whether you've overspent in one or more areas. Once more, the new MoneyWise app comes to the rescue. It'll tell you in real time exactly what you've spent in each category of your budget so you can make adjustments as needed to stay on track. Living faithfully on a budget will enable you to stay on the right side of Proverbs 21:20, which reads, "Precious treasure and oil are in a wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man devours it." All right, your calls are next. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
On American Family Radio, hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a layman here to remind you that faith sharing is a barometer for your spiritual health. And the truth is, time may be running out for you to get your unsaved friends into heaven before it's too late. No one knows the timing, but it's become impossible to ignore the fact that these are not normal times and our lives could be drastically changed at any moment. You have to ask yourself, if the rapture was to happen tomorrow, how many friends and loved ones do you have who would be left behind? And does that thought bother you? Do you even care? If you're a Christian, these are serious questions you need to be asking yourself. God's holding all of us accountable for sharing His gift of eternal life with everyone under our influence. Ezekiel 33 makes it abundantly clear that if you don't warn them and they die in their sins, their blood will be in your hands. This is one of the most serious scriptures in the entire Bible, and it appears we're running out of time. If you need help sharing your faith, go to igniteamerica.com.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Washington Watch.
This is a crisis of our own making, and that hard-nosed determination to not admit it for political reasons is just really, truly disheartening.
Yeah, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but on this particular issue, the contrast between the policies of the two administrations could not be sharper. As I've mentioned here on the program many times, I was at the border a little over a year ago. It was like a ghost town.
Weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evenings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
When it comes to caring for your family, there's one critically important thing many people fail to do before the Lord calls them home. That one thing is to set your house in order. Organize important documents and account information for your loved ones. Create a will and more. If it sounds intimidating, don't worry. The 5-week Set Your House in Order study makes it easy with step-by-step instructions. And you can request your copy with your gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org/house.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Delighted you're along with us today. We're going to cover a lot of ground, have a lot of fun, and apply God's Word to your financial decisions and choices. By the way, let me just say quickly, as Tim mentioned a moment ago, we are so thankful for the incredible response that you provided over the last 3 days to our fall share here at American Family Radio. I'm so thankful to be a part of this family, and I'm so thankful that you all responded in such a significant way to support this great work, to continue to equip God's people with a biblical worldview in all areas of life, and yes, that includes this area of money. So thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you did. All right, we've got phone lines open today. We're looking forward to hearing from you with whatever is on your mind, financially speaking. Do you want to talk about debt or paying back maybe a loan that's been lingering out there? You're wondering the best way to do that. Maybe it's your spending plan. Boy, it's challenging out there today, especially with inflation, which is not cooling, at least as of the report this week. It continues to climb. We hope that's going to turn down here soon, but right now you're still feeling it at the gas pump, when you try to buy a car, in the housing market, certainly food prices up 11% year over year. It's challenging out there. Let's talk about your spending plan. What about your giving, or maybe it's that long-term savings? Boy, the stock market can't make up its mind. We started selling off yesterday when the news came out about the hotter-than-expected inflation report, and then all of a sudden, next thing we knew, the market was up, well, at least the Dow Jones, more than 800 points. We're selling off just a little bit today, basically flat, but market's still looking for more news as we try to read where the Fed's headed next. Certainly seems like they're going to continue to raise rates, and we're waiting for the heart of the earnings season as we find out how corporations did last quarter. Well, how do you navigate these difficult times, especially as it relates to your long-term investments? Well, we can talk about it today. Again, the number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Also, we'll take several of your emails today. We always love when you email us at questions@moneywise.org, and we try to get several of them on the air. Let me also mention, we heard last week that the popular budgeting app, Envelopes, that's with an M, Envelopes, is shutting down. They're actually closing their doors after a long time. And that was an app prior to the MoneyWise app, before that came into existence, that the former host of this program, Howard Dayton, promoted heavily because it used Larry Burkett's tried and true digital envelope system in a modern expression, in a digital form. Larry loved the envelope system. Now, back when Larry started talking about the envelope system, it was physical envelopes, and some of you still may do that, whether that's a small accordion you carry around with you or actual envelopes that you use for discretionary spending. The key is to have a budgeting system that works for you. But Envelopes actually took that and was one of the first to carry that that envelope system into a digital format. Well, Envelopes is closing their doors, and so it's a great opportunity for you to check out, if especially you've relied on Envelopes in the past, the MoneyWise app. There's a fascinating discussion going on right now, actually, in our MoneyWise community of all of these former Envelope users that are discovering MoneyWise and love it. They're talking about how great it is. You can actually read about it in our community. There's a number of responses there. But if you're looking for a way to manage your money, to stay on budget, especially now, keep tabs on what's actually in each of your envelopes, digitally speaking, where if you're married, you and your spouse can have full visibility at the same time into each of your envelopes. Perhaps you need to check out the MoneyWise app. You can find out more on our website, moneywise.org. Just click the app button, or you can head to your app store, wherever you get apps, and just search for MoneyWise Biblical Finance. That's MoneyWise Biblical Finance. Download it today. Check it out. By the way, there's three different versions of our budgeting system built into the app, so you can choose how detailed you want to be. Do you want to be more directional in your approach to budgeting and just kind of stay at a high level to watch what's going on? You can do that. Or all the way to the most hands-on approach, which again is our digital envelope system. So check it out today. Head to moneywise.org and click app. All right, we're going to head to the phones here today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. Let's begin in Texas. Angel, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Good morning. Well, I was telling the lady that we are purchasing a home apartment, a beach apartment at the beach in Puerto Rico, and the bank been taking for like almost 2 months already. They offered me a 6%, but I know they didn't lock the rate, and I know it's going to go up.
Yeah.
And we're thinking about all this going on with the economy. We should have thinking before, but with the economy and if it's going to rent, I want to put it on Airbnb. But I told my wife, you know what's up? Sometimes I don't feel like I'm not feeling like confidence. And I said, you know what? We better, you know, if we back off, we're going to lose $7,400. But I think it's better than losing $7,400 at the long run than losing $60,000. That is going to be the whole thing amount. But I don't know if keep on going with it and risk it and put it for rent and see if we could get it and then sell it in 1 year after, or just suspect of.
Well, I would not go into this if you're looking at this being a short-term situation, because I think if anything, I mean, obviously this is a different market that we're talking about there in Puerto Rico, but, you know, with the economy cooling, not only here in the U.S., but around the world, the economies of the world are slowing, and that's going to bring housing prices down. Now, this is a unique place. It sounds like it's in a great location, perhaps even right on the beach. And so you have to look at each market and really understand what's going on in that market. But what I suspect you'll find is that, like most places, they've seen a pretty significant rise in the cost of real estate, and that is probably not going to continue to rise. If anything, it's probably going to start dipping. So the idea that you would go in on a short-term basis with the idea of selling it or flipping it is not as attractive, certainly, as it's been in the past. I think the first question, whenever we're looking at purchasing a major asset like this that's going to be an investment, is, are we in a financial position to do it? You know, regardless of the mortgage that you get on it, what are you going in with a down payment? How much free cash flow do you have if you can't rent it? Do you have the ability to cover the debt service in your budget without putting a strain on your budget? I mean, the last thing you'd want to do in trying to generate more investment dollars through this real estate asset is to put the rest of your financial life in jeopardy. So give me a sense of that kind of, you know, do you have an emergency fund? Where are you at with your spending plan prior to buying this? Do you have some margin? And what are you looking to put into this property as you acquire it?
Well, I'm putting 20% on the property. I have 70,000 on the bank. But from that $70,000, I'm gonna use like $42,000 towards the purchase. I don't have a mortgage payment. I don't have no bills on my side. But I know, you know, I can pay it if I don't rent it. Let's say I don't rent it for 1 month or two, I could pay it. But I'm used to being without, you know, paying. Mortgage now that that's a little bit confusing, but
Let's do this. You hold the line. We're going to finish just around the corner after this break. Angel, you stay right there and we'll talk about it on the other side. We'll be right back on Money Wise.
AFA
Excellent. Repairing the foundations.
American Family Radio.
Announcing AFA.net/connect.
One News Now.
It's the one click that will link you to so many AFA platforms.
Repairing the foundation.
Pick and choose which updates you want to receive. Easily subscribe or unsubscribe.
American Family Studio.
And to quote our privacy policy, American Family Association will not sell, rent, or lease your personal information to outside organizations.
AFA Journal.
Make a better connection with AFA at AFA.net/connect.
Siri, what's the best way to save for college?
I'm not sure.
Well, what does the Bible say about co-signing for a loan or investing for retirement?
I don't know that either, but you can find those answers on the free MoneyWise app.
Really?
Sure. You can connect with the online community and get answers and encouragement from MoneyWise coaches.
That sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Got it. Learn more at MoneyWise.org.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing and the MoneyWise program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
The most rewarding thing about my job is that we get to
build relationships through our donors and our supporters and get to have that personal relationship with them.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
Thrilled to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got some lines open to take your calls and questions today on anything financial. 800-525-7000. Just before the break, we were talking to Angel. Looks like we lost him during the break, but let me just, if you're still listening, Angel, let me just mention, I like the fact that you have your expenses low. That's certainly a good sign. That means you have plenty of margin every month. I like the fact that you have a 20% down payment going into this rental property. I guess the only questions I would have is, number one, make sure you factor in the debt service on this mortgage that you're going to take on of 80% of the value of the property, especially given the fact that rates are higher now. And as you said, you didn't, the bank didn't lock that rate. You're probably looking, if you're going to borrow at 30 years, north of 7% right now. And that could mean a mortgage payment higher than you were expecting. Factor in the other costs as well. What about any other, you know, HOA or maintenance type things that you're going to have to factor into that? Of course, you know, the taxes, anything else that you've got to consider as a part of that. You're also going to want to have a reserve for maintenance. So I think the key is just make sure you're ready to cover this financially. And then there's the non-financial side, which is you're going to be an absentee landlord, if you will. You're not in the same location as this property. So what is your plan to deal with maintenance issues? Is that covered by a local property management company? How are you going to stay on top of this? Do you have any experience marketing a property like this, especially out of the country? What about the tax implications? You know, how are you going to make sure that it stays occupied and who's doing that for you? So I think there's just a host of issues there that you need to check in on and really do your due diligence before you move ahead with this. And, you know, really study that market just to make sure the expectation of what you're going to bring in from a rental income standpoint is realistic for that market as well. But if all of that checks out, I certainly like real estate. I would much prefer it be closer to you so you could put eyes on it and go by and, you know, fix a leaky faucet. But if you've got a plan for all of that and you feel like you're financially ready for it, then I like real estate as another asset class as you try to build wealth over time. I would just go slow, do your homework, count the cost, make sure you have the staying power if for some reason this market cools and you don't have the renters that you were expecting. But I think the fact that you said you could carry it even without the rental income obviously is a good sign. So take that to heart. Think about it. Pray about it. Make sure you and your wife are on the same page, because one of the rules we talk about when borrowing is always make sure we have spousal agreement. We appreciate your call, Angel. I hope that's helpful to you, my friend, and God bless you. All right, back to the phones we go. Let's see, to Mississippi. Hey, Robert, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Yes, we have used some apps in the past. I just heard on the radio your discussion and wasn't aware of the MoneyWise app. One of the things that has been a deal breaker with us on things that we've used is there was no way to track cash purchases.
Yes.
If we had money in our pocket and we paid for something with cash, how to allocate, how to track that. Do you have that capability built into the app?
Yeah, there is that capability because you can enter manual transactions. So you would have the ability to fund an envelope with cash that you have on hand and then manually enter that transaction to reduce that particular cash envelope as you have transactions coming out of pocket that obviously are not passing through your bank where they would typically be automatically downloaded. There is a 14-day trial, so I would download it, start that 14-day trial, check it out. Here's the great thing is there's a whole team of people that'll come alongside you to be able to help you, Robert, get it set up the way you want it, answer your questions, make sure you understand what you're looking at, and make sure that it's going to work for you longer term. So I would download it today and check it out. But the bottom line is, yeah, that capability is there for exactly what you're talking about.
Great. Thanks.
All righty. You can learn more at MoneyWise.org. Click app or just head over to your app store and search for MoneyWise Biblical Finance. Robert, we appreciate your call today. Let's see. To Tennessee we go. James, you're next on the program. Go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, I was interested in finding out from you. I'm going to do some release time instruction on financial issues. And yes. So I was wondering if you guys had any curriculum that would be available first grade through 12th grade,
yes.
Anywhere in that.
Yeah, we do have high school curriculum through our partner ministry called the Ron Blue Institute. And it's being used in not only in homeschool environments, but also in high schools around the country. So I would check that out as a starting point, James. If you head to ronblueinstitute.com, you can learn more about the high school curriculum. And I think that may be what you're looking for, obviously specifically for high school, not for the younger ages, but that would at least get you a start in that direction. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah. How do you spell that?
Yeah, Ron Blue, R-O-N, and then blue, like the color blue, institute.com, ronblueinstitute.com.
I got a little distortion. I did not understand it as Ron Blue.
No problem.
I understood it as something like Ron Blue or something like that.
Okay, so. That was probably on my end. So no problem. ronblueinstitute.com, and you're going to want to look for the high school curriculum, and I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. It's deeply integrated with a biblical worldview. It really is starting with the biblical, but also brings the practical in as well, which is, you know, what I think makes it so unique. And James, God bless you. I'm delighted to hear you want to teach some kids of all ages God's principles of managing money. You know, folks, as we think about this idea of imparting financial wisdom to the next generation, to future adults, yes, we want them to be financially literate, understanding the value of hard work and that money is limited and the power of compounding both for you and against you with debt and how to manage a checking account and what a credit score is and all these things. But we also want them to know God's heart as it relates to money management, that God owns it all and we're stewards and money's a tool to accomplish his purposes and that giving breaks the power of money over our lives and that God's word has a lot to say about this topic. So we need to do both. And the best way to do that is to model it, to talk about it, and then to have some practical examples as we demonstrate these principles being worked out every day to our kids. I hope that's helpful to you. We're going to take a quick break. Much more just around the corner. Stay with us on MoneyWise. We'll be right back.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Sometimes you just need a little guidance to help point you in the right direction.
In 300
100 feet. Turn right.
If you're feeling lost when it comes to your finances, we're here to help. You can connect with a trained MoneyWise coach absolutely free. A MoneyWise coach can help you build a personal budget, develop a plan to knock out your debt, and more. Visit MoneyWise.org/connect. That's MoneyWise.org/connect.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. The number to call, 800-525-7000. Coming up in our next segment, Jerry Boyer stops by. Jerry joins us each Friday as our resident economist to check in on the markets and the economy. What a wild week on Wall Street. Jerry will give us his perspective. That's coming up a little later in the broadcast. Before we head back to the phones, an email from Catherine. She writes, "We're selling our house. Should we tithe, or how should we tithe on the money from the sale?" And first of all, I love this idea that you would honor the Lord from your wealth. Proverbs 3 speaks to this, Catherine. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. This idea of proportionate giving is clearly seen in the scriptures, that we should give as God prospers us. And the idea of the tithe, this Old Testament principle from the Mosaic law, which, by the way, there was three tithes, even though the word means a tenth, there was actually three of them, and the third of the three was every 3 years. So it was 23 1/3% that they would give from the gross, from the first of their increase to the Lord as a demonstration of trust and dependence on Him. And I love applying that principle. Now, I think we should raise the bar, having seen the cross. Jesus certainly did. He said, "To whom much is given, much is required. Give as you've been prospered." He commended the poor widow who gave of her poverty into the temple treasury. So I think we should use that, as my friend Randy Alcorn says, as the training wheels of giving, and then move beyond that. Now, if we want to apply the principle of the tithe to the sale of a home, how do we do that? What is your increase? Well, it's not the gross amount in the case of a home sale or any asset from that perspective. The question is, how much profit did you make on the sale? It's the same number you would use essentially to determine capital gains. The selling price minus the original purchase price, minus the improvements that you made that enhanced the value of the property, and minus any transaction costs. That will help you come up with a profit number. That's truly your increase, regardless of what you do with it, pocket it, put it in savings, or buy another property. And then if you want to tithe on that, you'd say, "Yeah, Lord, thank you for this increase that comes from you, and I want to now give a tenth of that back to you as a tithe." That is a great approach as you think about giving as the Lord prospers you. All right, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's take one more email as well while we have a moment. The question, this one comes from Brent, and he writes, "We have a blended family. My wife has two kids from a previous marriage. I have two from mine. We have one child together. We want to set up a will. It's so complicated. Where do we start? Do you have any tips for us?" And I think you have to consider yourselves truly a blended family, and that means your finances are blended now that you have five children, two from each of your previous marriages and then this the new child, the latest child that the Lord has given you as a married couple. Now, of course, there can be extenuating circumstances in terms of the assets that were acquired prior to marriage that perhaps you may want to designate for your children that you each had prior to this marriage. And I think that can be done in a way with open and honest communication. It can be discussed in advance. There's actually something that our friends at Family Life Blended have put together. They call it a togetherness agreement. I love that idea of a togetherness agreement. But essentially, what they're wanting to do is help folks who are blending a family get all of these issues on the table and work towards something that honors one another, still drives toward oneness from the point of marriage forward, but also recognizes that there are complexities and kids that are with a previous spouse and that there are assets that have been accumulated. And I think that can be done in a way that honors one another, that honors the marriage moving forward, and is fully open and honest, not to create a wedge in any way in the relationship. So I would lean into that. Prior to marriage, if you haven't married yet, or if you already have, make that a high priority. And a visit with our friends at Family Life Blended. Family Life is a ministry that you're probably familiar with of Crew. Well, Family Life Blended is the aspect of that ministry that helps blended families. And this togetherness agreement that Ron Deal has put together, we've talked about it on this program in the past, I think could be a great starting place for you to think about how do we approach this. So you can check it out today. FamilyLifeBlended.com would be the place to go as you think and pray about how to honor one another and your kids as you move forward in oneness in this new marriage. And by the way, congratulations. Hey, before we head to our next break, let me take a moment to talk about our spending because, you know, in these challenging times we find ourselves right now with so much going on in the way of inflation, and that's putting a squeeze on our budget. We realize that, you know, we've got to right size our budgets, and small spending items can actually add up over time. And we've got to look for every area in the budget to cut back, especially right now. It was Ben Franklin who perhaps could have been referring to your spending when he wrote, "A small leak can sink a big ship." Franklin wrote back in the days of tall wooden ships when ocean-going sailors spent a lot of time plumbing water out of their vessels. They knew all too well that even a small leak could sink them in spite of skillful construction and lots of tar. So what does that have to do with your spending? Well, you could have a leak in your spending plan. Here's a few of them that could spell trouble and sink your big financial ship. Number one, well, auto pay memberships. Boy, this is a big one now. Music and movie streaming services will put you on an auto pay program, and it's really easy to forget about them. I know I have. If you're not checking your credit card bill every month, you add on top of that magazine subscriptions and plans like Sirius XM and grocery delivery services and Amazon Prime or Audible, the book reading equivalent. You know, you could be looking at hundreds of dollars a month. One of our team members bought a used car whose previous owner had forgotten to cancel the Sirius XM in the car for 3 years. He didn't even have the car. So you just want to look at that. Now, there are apps for that. It's funny that we need apps to cancel our app subscriptions, but we do. But there are services that can help you identify all of those recurring subscriptions and get them canceled automatically. But regardless of how you do it, take a look at that. Daily indulgences. Whatever your snack of choice is, that daily stop at the coffee shop or the donut place can take a bite out of your budget. So be careful. Grocery store gimmies. You know, taking the kids to the grocery store can result in costly impulse purchases. I've been there. My kids are a little older now, but I've certainly been there in the past. The best solution is to shop alone. But if you have to take the kids to the store, just make sure you go in with a plan and stick to it. Overdriving. In these days of high gas prices, making extra trips can really add to your daily costs. So instead of running errands on impulse, take a few moments at the beginning of the day to plan your trip. trips, combine errands as much as possible, carpool when you can. I know that's been huge for us with busy kids with lots of sports, and even arrange to work from home if you can, maybe an extra day if possible. Then finally, your leaky house could be draining your finances. Keep up with home maintenance, including drafty windows that need to be sealed, doors, things like that, maybe toilets that are running in the basement that you need to shut that down, whatever it might be, check it out and do things yourself when you can. It's important to be aware of where our money's going. It's a matter of stewardship. All right, we'll be right back after this break. Jerry Boyer joins us on MoneyWise next. Stay with us.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Did your parents ever warn you about hanging out with the wrong crowd? Maybe you were the wrong crowd. But we all know certain types of people who seem to be bad influences, troublemakers, tempters. Well, ancient Israel had plenty of nations around her, and Moab was certainly part of the wrong crowd. That's why it's so surprising to hear these words of Ruth, the Moabitess. Your people will be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. She said that to her mother-in-law, Naomi, and she meant it. This Gentile became a believer in Yahweh, and you know, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, Jew or Gentile alike. Get started with Anchor Devotional today. Visit getanchor.com.
If you enjoy this radio program, you will love all of the many different resources waiting for you at moneywise.org. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with a community of thousands of Christians striving to be faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at moneywise.org.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Here in our final segment of the broadcast today, before we go back to the phones, Jerry Boyer stops by. By the way, we'll have room for a few more questions after we have an opportunity to chat with Jerry at 800-525-7000. Jerry is president of Boyer Research. He's a columnist at the Christian Post, and we rely on his insights each week to bring us up to speed on the market, which, by the way, Jerry couldn't figure out whether it was wanting to go up or down this week in light of that inflation data, huh?
Yeah, that was really odd as you saw the market kind of processing information little by little. So let me just start off with the way I basically approach this. Markets aren't generally moving with how they think the economy is doing. They're generally moving with how they think the Fed is going to react in the future, because the Fed is now overwhelmingly the largest single investor. It's a $9 trillion balance sheet. So it's the largest single investor in the world. So it moves markets more than anybody. And the richest man in the world isn't close to the size of the Fed. Having gotten so big, so oversized, I think that's a bit of a problem. Now it's essentially in charge of markets, not just monetary policy. So yesterday, the inflation numbers came out and they'd gone down, but they were still higher than expected. And what's happening compared to what expected is what really matters. Sure. So inflation peaked in June, but it's still very high. And that's likely to have an effect on midterm elections. And so the markets initially, they sold off because, well, if the inflation's high, the Fed's going to have to pull money out of the system and in order to fight the inflation. Sure. But then the Fed minutes came out. Which are kind of the notes on the meeting that they had a few weeks ago. You know, they announce what their policy is going to be, but they don't announce how they decided. They don't release the notes until later. And it looks like there was a faction that's saying, well, maybe this is a little too painful, maybe enough already with the bear market and the recession. And so markets kind of interpreted that as, oh, maybe the Fed will lighten up a little bit. And then this morning, the University of Michigan survey came out, and it has inflation expectations from us people, not economists, but just people out there shopping. And we're very concerned about inflation. And so the market said, okay, we get it. It's still inflationary. The Fed is going to keep hiking rates. They're going to keep pulling money out of the system, and markets are falling as a result.
Hmm. Yeah, well, I appreciate that explanation. And I think a lot of folks don't realize how influential the Fed is, not just in raising interest rates and the monetary supply, but in the markets, as you said. I mean, that's staggering, the balance sheet that you're describing.
Yeah, they go out there and they buy bonds, right? So they're determining interest rates by buying or selling bonds. And that, since that goes into the capital markets, that money kind of flows out from bonds into stocks, et cetera. And it hits different kinds of stocks differently. So this week, it's kind of surprising the markets weren't down more. And I think what's going on here is we're looking at the United States economy, but we're also looking at the world economy. So the United States overperformed the rest of the world equity markets this week, especially emerging markets. So the idea that markets are seeing is the Fed has not beaten inflation yet. It's going to keep fighting. But for all of our problems, and it may well trigger a recession or another recession. But for all our problems, the world is worse off, which kind of kept markets from falling more this week.
No question about that. Jerry, as you look out longer term, I know there's a lot of data that you're constantly tracking and perhaps not always the same data we might hear from the typical pundits. What are you looking at as you just evaluate where we're headed economically and obviously the markets then follow that, 1 to 2 years out?
Inflation is not going away. They've exaggerated their ability to get rid of inflation. Do you remember when Ben Bernanke, who just won a Nobel Prize, was on 60 Minutes, and they asked him about all that money supply creation? And they said, well, won't that create inflation? And he said, well, we can pull the money out when we need to. How confident are you of that, 60 right. Minutes asked? Right. 100%, said Mr. Bernanke. Now we're learning that was overconfidence. So that the inflation is not beat. It's not going to be beat in the short term. We'll bring it down a little, and it has been coming down a little from 10% down to 8%. That's not good. It's just less very bad. Growth is indicating it'll be slow. So that's either a recession or a period of just low growth. But the U.S. better than the rest of the world. That's what pretty much all the market indicators, that's people with skin in the game. That's the multitude of counselors that I turn to every week. What do you say, bond market? What do you say, stock market? What do you say, dollar? What do you say, gold? What do you say, silver? It's telling me that the stagflation thing is still going to happen, which means I think we've got pain ahead.
Yeah, no question about that. And we've got political gridlock on the horizon, it seems like. I know you look at the futures markets when it comes to elections as one of your key indicators. Certainly seems like the Republicans will have the House, which just means there's not going to be a whole lot happening in Washington, right?
Yeah, I would say the probabilities are very high that Republicans take the House. And it's not me. Again, I'm just using the gift of data. People with skin in the game in these future markets, they're not always right, but they're right more than pundits. So I've taken off my pundit hat a long time ago just to say, what are people with skin in the game saying? And they're saying Republicans take the House, Senate too close to call, maybe even a 50-50. And that seems to be that makes sense to me as well. This inflation number probably is changing that because inflation is not going away. Now, the administration might try to say, it's gone down. 8% inflation is bad news. And by the way, the core inflation, which leaves out food and energy, is the highest in 40 years. So we can't blame this one on Putin. This one isn't the Russians. Because when you strip out the energy and the food prices, which are being disrupted by the Ukraine war, we still have the highest inflation in 40 years. This is a self-inflicted wound on our part.
Yeah, no question about it. Jerry, I want to switch gears on you for a moment. Tom called and wanted to talk a bit about the student loan forgiveness. It's ironic because you and I just had a 30-minute conversation about that this morning. I'd love for you to share just a few of your thoughts. He wanted to know just how should we be thinking about this as Christians and what are the implications for our economy? And I know we don't have a whole lot of time and we could spend an hour on this, but would you give us just maybe a summary of your Cliff Notes?
Well, we shouldn't fall prey to the idea that this is a biblical idea, because the Bible talks about debt forgiveness, because the Bible does not talk about political favoritism debt forgiveness for those who are part of your base to curry favor in a midterm election. That's not the kind of debt. You do have a Shemitah law in the Old Testament. Every 7 years, debt is forgiven. The king has nothing to do with it. It's Yahweh, the king, who makes that decision. So when a president or an emperor, Babylonian emperor, when they decree debt forgiveness, they're basically taking the place of God. So debt forgiveness is part of the Christian tradition. It's voluntary. By the way, you forgive a debt owed to you. If I forgive someone's debt, that's debt forgiveness. If I'm a politician and I forgive debt that's owed to the taxpayer, that's not really biblical debt forgiveness. Yeah. Forgive those who trespass against you, or forgive your debtors, the Lord's Prayer says. Not somebody else's debtor, not somebody else's debt. Economically, it's slightly inflationary, but I don't think that's the main issue. I think the main issue is that it's a cultural debasement, because it said to these kids, first of all, go out and get a college degree no matter what. Doesn't matter how expensive it is, it will pay for itself. Well, if that's the case, then why is it so egregious and so burdensome that they need to have it forgiven? And I don't think this is the last of the debt forgivenesses. I don't think this is a one-off. I think this will be a bidding war for presidents from now on. Well, you forgave 10,000, I'll forgive 20,000. Well, you want to forgive 20, I'll forgive 30. I'll forgive it all. So that's a bidding war. We've crossed a line that I think is a problem. And here's just another problem in terms of class. People who have a lot of student debt tend to be rich people, graduate students, they're professionals. This is an economic transfer upward, not downward. This isn't helping the poor. Biblical debt forgiveness is designed to help the poor. It's not designed to make poor taxpayers pay for people who racked up a lot of debt becoming doctors and lawyers.
Well, and there's obviously suits now going on that challenge whether the executive branch even has this power, right?
Yeah, and it doesn't, and they are losing those suits, and that's why the administration has even begun to pull back here. You know, some of these people who talk about debt forgiveness in the Bible, they're confusing Babylon with Israel, because this debt forgiveness is a lot more like ancient Babylon debt forgiveness, where the king feels unpopular and unloved and goes out there and wipes out other people's debts, than it is the biblical debt forgiveness, where you forgive a debt owed to you, and you do it on schedule, and it doesn't have anything to do with royal decrees. Royal decree debt forgiveness for political favoritism is not what the Bible had in mind.
Yeah, well, in fact, what you shared with me this morning, which I thought was right on, is that if we want to find a biblical parallel, it's probably most closely in the parable of the unfaithful steward.
It is. He was incompetently administering things on behalf of somebody else, and he decided that he's going to get fired. He was worried that he'd lose his office. He was going to get fired, and he's too proud to beg, and he's too old to dig ditches. So what he does is he does targeted debt forgiveness of money not owed to him. It's not his money. Targeted debt forgiveness to curry favor for himself. That seems to me, that's not a positive story. He's not the good guy in the story. He's the unfaithful steward. It's clever, Jesus says, but it's not good. That seems to be the best parallel.
Yeah, interesting. Hey, Jerry, always thankful for your insights and commentary, my friend. We'll look forward to having you back next week. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too. God bless.
All right. Jerry Boyer, our resident economist and good friend. He's the president of Boyer Research. You'll find his insightful articles at the Christian Post. You'll even see him from time to time on Fox Business and other places. Jerry, with a great biblical understanding of what drives markets and economies and how God designed this whole thing, going back to God's word that we were to be creative and productive and doing meaningful work for our Creator. Well, folks, we've covered a lot of ground today. So appreciate you being along with us, not only today, but also the last 3 days during our fall share. Again, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for all that you did to support this great ministry. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Let me say thank you to my team today, Devin Patrick, Robert Sutherland, and Pat Montague. We will look for you next week as we do it all over again with another edition of MoneyWise here on American Family Radio. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.